If you haven't noticed, gold has reached a new high, all-time highs, actually, and keeps going up every day. Why is that? It's because precious metals are a long-time historical store of value. And if you own a portfolio and you have assets in the fiat currencies, i.e. stocks, bonds, cash, or whatever, you're vulnerable to hyperinflation, which is coming as our debt explodes another trillion every 90 days. It's really scary. So how do you protect yourself? Go to Advisor Metals. If you look on any of our CDM.press sites, about halfway down, there's an ad for Advisor Metals. Click on it, fill out the form for your contact info, and Ira Bashatsky will contact you and talk to you. It's an easy conversation. There's no sales pitch. He's completely verified by us. He has a regulatory background we've checked into. We've checked with his bankers. We've checked with his IRA custodians for metals, and we can highly recommend Advisor Metals and Ira. So go to Advisor Metals. If you call them directly, tell them we sent you at CDM, and he'll definitely take care of you. But protect your portfolio because you really need to. It's coming. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Christine Dolan, and today we are with our dear friend, Dr. David Bell, who always makes us smarter. So, David, it's good to see you. It's been a while since you've been on the show.
Yeah, it has. Thanks for asking me back, Christine.
So, we are at a weird time. I mean, the weird's becoming the new adjective for everybody to use, but we really are at a weird time now because people are talking about the avian flu. So what's going on with this whole, you know, global complex of the World Health Organization, the Gates Foundation? I mean, nobody's giving up. They seem to be coming back, and now the big talk is we're going to all have to get an avian flu shot.
Yeah, I mean, really, the simplest way of looking at it, I think, and it's an accurate way, it's not the whole picture, but is that companies and people made hundreds of billions of dollars through COVID, which was, you know, it's a virus that affects on average people at about 80, you know, affects severely. And they managed to turn that into something that generated an unprecedented redistribution of wealth from low to high income people, which themselves, the people who were pushing the lockdowns, you know, we had the Zuckerbergs and Gates, etc., meeting with CDC early on and talking to world leaders and saying everyone should lock down. They're the people that made that group of people in general made the money, and the big pharmaceutical companies that they invest in, and the software companies that made a lot of money out of it. So this is a hugely successful way to generate income on unprecedented scales. And it would be irrational, I think, from their point of view, to then just go back to normal after COVID, after you've proven that this can happen, that this can work. You right. use the tools at your disposal, the media, which they own and sponsor, the large financial institutions that are working with them, the international agencies that they have essentially bought into and that have, to a large extent, given themselves over to these people rather than what were they originally intended for, which is the populations of the world. And you would use those assets to do it again. Bird flu, we have had influenza as long as we've had humans, including bird flu. And the last major pandemic of influenza, which was a recombination probably of bird flu, swine, and human, happened in 1918-19, a Spanish flu, and most people died because we didn't have antibiotics. This is over 100 years ago. We didn't even have sulfonamides, the most the earliest antibiotic. So, but even then, it was, you know, the percentage of people that died was not most. It was a small fraction, but a very significant fraction of people.
Right.
But we wouldn't expect that to happen again if the Spanish flu came now, because we can give antibiotics which will stop the secondary infections that, as Dr. Anthony Fauci has noted, were the cause of most deaths in that epidemic. So, and we have modern medical care. We can do all the things that we couldn't do then. So, you know, influenza is never logically going to be the problem it was then. And if you look back further to the huge plagues, you know, the Black Death, probably Yersinia pestis, a bacteria, killed up to a third of the people in Europe in the Middle Ages. Well, that isn't going to happen again. But, you know, Yersinia pestis, now an outbreak kills two or three people. We it's an easily treatable bacterial infection now that we have antibiotics.
So are these people relying upon people being stupid and not knowing?
Pretty much. And they have the media on side. So that they can trot out numbers that, oh, this particular strain kills 50% of people. That's because, you know, there are a few instances where it came straight from chickens to people. And the vast majority we don't know, because people get a bit sick somewhere with their chickens and get better, and who's going to know? But there's a few people that went to hospital, were tested and died. Very few. And so out of that, it's 50%. But out of all the people that are infected on Earth, it's probably a tiny percentage, and it's a few people out of 8 billion. And it's not
so,
going...
So is it hysteria? Are they banking on hysteria, stupidity, ignorance, too many young people on the planet that don't understand 1918?
Yeah, people, you know, don't
know the difference
know
between then and now is sanitation.
Well, the difference between then and now is modern medical care, is sanitation, but even is antibiotics. But even then, it wasn't anywhere near as bad as these people are telling us this one might be.
Right.
And so they're playing on this idea. We might be hit by a meteorite tomorrow that we haven't noticed. But, you know, I would put my bets on it not happening. Right. You know, there has never been a recorded influenza outbreak in the whole of human history that caused the sort of mortality that they are touting for this one.
All right. So we have people lying to us.
Essentially lying to us. Yeah. They are knowingly inventing something which has never happened before, and there's absolutely no reason why it would happen now.
So, David, what do we need here? I mean, you know, it's easy to say a revolution, but I mean, what do we need here for these people to stop preying upon us?
I think, well, we need a media that acts like the media in the US Constitution, for instance, was supposed to. You know, it's mentioned in the Bill of Rights as how important it is, because it keeps leaders honest. Now we have a media that works directly for the leadership and for the people who are very rich and have the money to sponsor it. So what do we need? We need to regain the value of truth, you know, in science very much, in public health very much. And to do that, I think, you know, it sort of comes down, I think, a bit to, you know, we have I remember in the 1970s and 80s, you know, I was at university and so on, and people talked about an increasing inequality in wealth, that we were starting to get people that had, you know, relatively higher concentrations of wealth than almost anyone in history. And that accelerated through the 90s, 2000s with software and so on. So now we have people who own, you know, they have more than the GDP of many, many countries. And we knew that that would twist society, that they would get huge influence over society, over the organs of society, like the media, like government. You can buy politicians, you can buy media. I mean, it's obvious. Of course you do, if you're rich enough, because then you can use them to get even richer.
Right.
And if you're running a company, that's your job to use the assets at your disposal to maximize profit, which we're seeing with pharma. So, you know, this is it's inevitable if you have a few people with so much money and therefore so much power that you're going to get this sort of thing happening, I think. So in the end, you know, these people aren't interested in truth. So they pay the media not to be interested in truth. They pay politicians, as we're seeing now, to a huge extent, not to be interested in truth. I mean, we, in American politics, we have whole political parties, you know, saying one thing for 3 years and then turning around saying the opposite, as right. if they'd never said right. the first thing. And we're right. expected to forget what has happened, what they've said for the last 3 years incessantly, and even when they're denigrating anyone who opposed that. And then suddenly they reverse course, and everyone's supposed to say, yeah, you know, as Orwell said, you know, of course we're always fighting East Asia. You know, it's so...
It really is a weird time.
It's a weird time, and yeah. Truth doesn't mean anything anymore. And once that happens, I think society in the end can't really function, because you have to rely on trust for a lot of your daily life. You have to rely on trust in politics. We have to be able to trust politicians that they will at least vaguely say what they're going, you know, do what they say they're going to do. And that we have to rely on the system that the person we elect to be in charge is actually the one in charge. So when all that sort of breaks down, then you have a problem that it's hard to fix.
So what's the first question we should be asking? How did we get here, or how do we get out of here? I mean, do we really have to figure out how we got here to get out of here? I mean, that's such a silly statement, because I mean, when I'm saying, I'm thinking, my God, I sound like Kamala Harris, you know, but seriously, I mean, what's the first question we should be asking?
Is it that we have to recognize what's going on? You know, I have.
Yeah.
I have a friend who I was talking to about this recently who's saying exactly the same things he did 5-6 years ago about politics. Mm. And, you know, it becomes really important to people to support this political party. And that political party can completely reverse course. You know, a political right. party that was touting itself as the, you know, the representative of the working class can become obviously the tool of the very rich and large mm-hmm. corporations. But if you're staking your whole, you know, your friendships, your beliefs, your sort of image of yourself on supporting that party, then it's really hard to face reality and change, because you risk losing friends and you risk having to say that you got everything wrong for the last few years. But I think the first thing is we have to really be realistic. I mean, recognize that humans are massively flawed individuals and they're driven by greed to a large extent often, and that they lie, and you know that when we hear them say one thing and then completely reverse course and pretend they never said the first thing, then we have to start mistrusting those people and look elsewhere and stop supporting people who are obviously lying, because that's not going to lead to a good place.
That's a really good point. Why is it that some people continue to support people who admittedly have lied?
Yeah, I mean, take
that. I mean, it really yeah. is kind of one of those astounding moments in time.
It is astounding. I mean, a good example is, because we talk about a bit vaccinations on, you know, Fauci and Corona, and Anthony Fauci said, you know, the vaccines will stop transmission. Everyone should
absolutely.
Get that.
They were even talking about how to crystallize the message mid 2021.
Yet in January 2023, he can co-publish a paper in a prominent scientific medical journal,
right,
stating that it was clear from the beginning that the vaccine almost certainly would not work, and this is why it didn't. A, B, C, D, E, standard immunology. You know, it's injected, it doesn't produce mucosal immunity, etc. All the stuff he knows. And right, so he's saying he was making it up. All that stuff he said before was he was making it up. He knew that wasn't really true.
Right.
And yet people, they still say that they still support what he originally said. And he can go back to saying that and no one blinks. And yet
but David, the truth be known, I mean, most people have not read the paper that you're referring to that I too have read. All right. So we have, that is Fauci's admission of a lie, but many people haven't read that. They have moved on with their lives,
yeah.
You know, and so they don't even catch themselves in terms of
I get that. Reality. And not everyone can read it. I mean, I read it because it's my field. Yeah, it's
right.
What I do. I don't read a lot of farming papers or a lot of software papers. I read that. But the media reads it, and the media has their scientific and medical journalists whose job is to read that and to point out the discrepancies. That is their job. And so that comes back to this trust thing in society, isn't it? Most of us, we have to trust vaguely the journalists who are working in a certain field to actually give a semblance of truth to us. And when they're not, then this is the problem that develops. So generally people should know all this because it's such a big part of the last few years. And, you know, the mass in, you know, mandated injections, people lost their jobs, people lost their businesses, et cetera, et cetera.
They lost their loved ones. Yes.
Yeah. They couldn't go to their parents' funerals and, you know, all the issues are associated with excess death, et cetera. And that, you know, have affected a lot of people. It should be a big deal, and the media should have been explaining this to them, but they have done the opposite. They've deliberately misled people, because in the end, that's, they're being paid, I think, to do that.
So how do we turn this ship around, David? What do you think? We have to, you know, you and I have talked about this. There are, to me, larger questions that need to be asked. I mean, I recently ran up against something that is on a minor scale, but it was a woman in a small town who is friends with friends of mine, and she's an atheist. And she didn't want to have the mayor's prayer breakfast, which I thought was kind of interesting. And I thought, why would somebody object to a prayer breakfast in a time we're living in? And then I found out that she was an atheist, and I called her. I actually called her. And I've never asked a politician if they were an atheist, but I wanted to, because I thought, what's driving this train? And she exhibited a level of ignorance that I hadn't quite run up against. She's for the LGBT flags, but she doesn't know that in many Western countries they have basically said, we're not going to give puberty blockers to minors. We're not going to push those operations. And she didn't connect the dots between those flags and the operations, which I thought was kind of interesting. She didn't know that the prayer breakfasts that have been started in the US since the 1950s under Eisenhower have included Muslims and Jews. It's not just Christians. You know, so it taught me a lesson that there really are some people on this planet that, one, do not have any curiosity, and two, don't know history, and three, have made conclusions as opposed to being curious about what are the facts, what's the story. And some of these people have been elected officials. So to me, I mean, I'm turning into somebody who's becoming, I don't want to say cynical, but really questioning, why are people voting for people who are stupid?
Or people who are liars.
Or liars, yes.
Which is sort of worse, I think.
Lazy liars. I mean, I don't know, you know, which is worse. But we have a lack of leadership.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, sometimes you don't have a great choice. But that is partly because we still, you know, there are other people out there, and I guess we go with the flow to a large extent, don't we? I think there are people in Congress who are not perennial liars, who are genuine, and probably in both parties, although it's always more difficult in the party in government to find them. You know, it was the other way around 5 years ago. But they're relatively few, and they don't really get standout support from the general population that they should when they show that they do have integrity. Most people still go along with what the media tells them to do, and they'll follow people who are clearly lying over and over again, or who are using, you know, knowledge, inside knowledge, to get very rich through politics, or etc. These obvious things that shouldn't be happening, and they're not seen as okay. Under almost no circumstances would I vote for this person because of the way they're using their position, the way they're lacking integrity, etc. That doesn't seem to be a big deal anymore.
Well, we also have to ask people. We have to, I guess, ask ourselves: is integrity important to us anymore?
Yes, very much
important to us.
Yeah,
and are we demanding our leadership enough? There's a disappointment. And maybe it's because I'm too old, but I take a look at leadership in the past, and I think that, yes, there are people who are inspiring. But, you know, today's landscape doesn't give me that satisfaction. And it's got nothing to do with parties. It has to do, I think we have a global leadership of stupidity.
It is hard to think of a prominent Western leader who stands out as having integrity. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't think of one, actually.
I agree with you.
Yeah, you know, what we see is always filtered through the media. But so you have to sit down with someone to really understand where they're coming from, what they're doing. But from what is happening, it is hard to see that anyone really in major positions of power is acting with integrity at the moment.
Well,
which makes it really difficult. I mean, there are crises in the world at the moment, and, you know, missiles land in this place, missiles land in that place. These people say this, these people say that. We know this media will support those people. We know that media will support those people. Mm-hmm. And I think we have no idea almost what is actually happening. We can choose, I'll believe this side, I'll believe that side. But we know that the side we're choosing to believe, in both cases, has a history of making stuff up from scratch to make the others look worse. So we haven't got this media in the middle that is making an effort to pull both stories apart and get to the facts. So, I think we are in a crisis in that we don't really know who's good and who's bad internationally at the moment.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break. And on the other side of the commercial, let's talk about, you know, the reality. Because this past week, I mean, when I love the Olympics. It's every 4 years, I love the Olympics. But when I saw the opening the other night, I said to myself, holy God, we are in a really bad, We're in a bad spot if somebody's testicles are coming out of their pants.
Yes.
So David, on the other side, let's talk about, you know, the Olympics and how it let us down.
Learn through the pandemic, we can never be caught unprepared again. And so many Americans, when COVID hit, they had nothing in the house. Stores were shut down and doctor's offices were shut down. And even if doctors prescribed drugs, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, pharmacists wouldn't fill the prescriptions. That was a nightmare.
Now the situation is much worse. We have these horrible supply chain problems. In our emergency medical kit at the wellness company, we have 8 prescription drugs that are all potentially life-saving.
Most people have died with COVID. They died in the hospital because they didn't receive early treatment.
Every American family should have one of these.
I can tell you the wellness company kit is the answer.
I'm David Cross, and you may know me from my election integrity work, but I also own U.S. Asset Management, a family-owned and operated investment advisory practice. I'm a certified portfolio manager, and my job is to help you make better decisions with your money. One of the things we try to avoid is investing in companies that push the woke agenda. If you're invested with one of the big firms out there, there's a pretty good chance that you're feeding the beast that hates your values. Our company is 100% conservative, and we'd love to have an opportunity to work with you. Check us out at us-am.com and look for our big, proud American Eagle logo.
Psst. Your government doesn't care about you. That's why you need a medical emergency kit. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, Z-Pak, and antibiotics. Stock them before they block them.
You know, I love that commercial because it really is the truth. You don't know what's going to happen next. But David, you know, as I said before the commercial, I love the Olympics. And it truly is always one of my favorites. But about 8 weeks ago, I was informed that the International Olympic Committee wanted the journalists. They wanted to control the journalists and how they were going to report on the trans issue within the Olympics. In other words, they were telling journalists, we don't want you to use a biological man words, biological woman, all right? For those who would be competing on the opposite sex teams. And I thought, wow, that's the first time in history. And I was glad, I even said to a friend of mine, I'm glad I'm not a sports reporter because I'd be the first one that would tell these people to go to hell. At the same time, when they had the opening of the Olympics, I thought, what is this all about? What is this? Has the world turned into sort of straight versus gay versus trans versus, you know, LGBTIQ+, because it seemed to be so over the top. And now I'm thinking back, what are these wars about? What's the message Putin is sending to the West? I mean, I'm beginning to ask, what is this? You know, like I'm not believing what I'm being sold, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And part of it has to do with going through COVID. Part of it has to do because people lied on such a visceral level. But at the same time, I'm wondering, do these people really believe in God?
Well, no, they don't. I mean, obviously, and lots of people don't. And you know, I can understand why people don't. But there's something more than that going on, isn't there?
It's not just about transhumanism. Okay, this goes much further beyond that.
Yeah, I mean, firstly, why would a journalist even follow such such dictates or instructions, because if they are, they're not doing their job as journalists. They're supposed to independently assess. I mean, so it's just, it's assuming that journalists don't do their job to even bother to say that. And it's trees are trees. They grow in the ground. So if you tell everyone we don't want you to say that trees grow in the ground, what are you going to say, that trees float in the clouds? You know, we're humans, like all mammal species, they have XX, and they have males and females biologically. Right. There are instances that are uncommon, but there are instances where someone with XY chromosomes is born with external characteristics that make them look female, and they can be thought to be female when they're born, and they go through a lot of a difficult life because they're sort of in this, they look one way, particularly as children, but they as they develop as adults, they won't be normal women, okay, and they will have more testosterone, they will be bigger, stronger, and because they actually have the chromosomes of a male, and that determines to a large extent how they grow. So they this is a reality, and so we talk about biologically there are males and females, and it's determined by chromosomes. There is there are some complications in the middle where developmental abnormalities occur. And we should talk about that because that's what it is.
Right.
There are within males, within females, you get there's a spectrum of how much testosterone you have, how much whatever. And different people have different attractions, but they still have this biological reality of what they
are. Right. But we also have people who are saying that the minority is the majority. Okay. And that's when I sit back and I think to myself, so we have a lot of people who are living a lie, who have the larger megaphone, that are trying. And the thing that's different now, I think, is there's a level of oppression. People really want to control other people's lives.
Yeah.
There's something very different than where we were 5 years ago, and we have a very large younger population. We have a very large younger population across Africa, across the Middle East, and we have people that are buying into these myths that people are thrusting upon the globe as if these are facts, but they're not. I mean, I've had younger people come to me and talk to and ask me questions about 1918. And I am absolutely struck how stupid the questions are. They don't even know what the lack of sanitation was 100 years ago.
Mm.
They don't even know when penicillin was discovered.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, wow, so do we have people in power who are playing upon a lack of curiosity among people? The fact that people don't read history? They don't care about history?
Possibly, or we have people in power who genuinely don't know, and sometimes it's hard to tell. And we have Supreme Court justices who think that to define what is a woman, which has been through human history, we've known what women is, you need a degree in biology. If you said what I said a moment ago about XX, XY chromosomes, which
which has been accepted through
history. Is indisputable, actually. Right. Then you can be accused of hate speech now, mm-hmm. because you're hating. I'm not sure. You're apparently hating the people who want to pretend that what you just said is not true, and that's what it comes down to.
Right. So now we're supposed to go along with illusions.
So you have to go along with people who are somewhat delusional or want to pretend that truth is not truth, because if you state the truth to them and they don't like that, then you're oppressing them and it's hate speech. So it's got to the point now, you know, going back to the Olympics where, a bit more than 50% of the human population is XX, they're biologically female. And now we're told that, because the Olympic Charter talks about fairness very strongly.
Right. That's right.
So we're told that fairness means that those who have other chromosomes, XY, and because of that have grown much stronger, taller, larger muscles, mm-hmm. that fairness dictates that they should be in the ring with people who have XX chromosomes and so have never been able to grow those muscles or that height or that bulk.
Right.
And the bone structure. And so fairness dictates that them with thinner skull and weaker muscles should be beaten up by someone who biologically has grown much, much stronger. And that's what in the Olympics want these journalists and us to state that that is fairness. And again, it's like saying trees don't grow in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously fairness is going against people who generally have the same developmental history as you, and, you know, there's variations, but generally that's why we have biological women against biological women, biological men against biological men, because there's a spectrum, but there's a genuine difference between the two.
Absolutely.
And fairness dictates that, because logically, if you have people who've grown up with more testosterone and so on all their lives, then they will nearly always win in most of these sports against women, because that's the way humans evolved. We had males who were the fighters and the hunters and so on generally, and women who were generally the carers. And we evolved that way as a species because that allowed us to reproduce more effectively as a group. Mm-hmm. And that's the reality. You can't walk away from that. I mean, okay, a lot of people believe in, you know, a different way of being, of creation of humans. Fine. That it's still actually the same, that the creation narratives also have this, you have a sort of male who, you know, dominant in that they are stronger and so on, and a female who nurtures the children, because it's the same, because that is the way that most species of mammals happen.
Can you know, I was thinking about this the other day, and it's sort of a crazy thought, but is there a time in history, because I can't think of one, where people did not deal with reality on such a scale as I'm witnessing today? COVID has shown me that some very smart people turn out to be very, very stupid.
They bought into this. Yeah. Maybe the Inquisition in some ways was like that. What we're seeing is very similar, I think, to the Inquisition. We have the Grand Inquisitors companies and the people who run them, right, in the World Economic Forum, whatever. They're the Inquisitors, basically. And right, everyone has to believe what they say, even if it's blatantly, obviously untrue. And you put on the rack if you don't. And I don't think that's so different.
They kill people. I mean, and we're seeing this now. I mean, there is nothing. I mean, I can honest to God say this. I don't believe anything that's coming out of Silicon Valley. I'm very close to not believing a lot of that which comes out of Washington, D.C. I mean, I can give maybe two handfuls of people that I, honest to God, trust what they have to say. But it's as if it's, and I've lived in and out of that city for years. I mean, I went to university at Georgetown. I worked at the networks when I was in D.C. But this is to the point where I don't believe people, I believe people willfully are not telling the truth.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think it's because we've got to a point where that's completely acceptable now. You know, people have always lied, but lying was seen as something you shouldn't really do. I think now in politics, clearly, lying is seen as a completely legitimate thing if it helps you to get on top of the other side. And a lot of the population is seeing that as well. So, you know, in American politics, we have, I think, people on both sides, actually, who think the other side getting in is an absolute existential threat to democracy, blah, blah, blah. And so anything is legitimate to stop that happening. And so we accept lies and we accept obvious lack of integrity and so on, as long as it's the purpose, you know, the greater good, whatever that is. And once you go on that road, you're in fascism. And
there are a lot of people who don't think, I mean, they don't believe that fascism, they don't believe that there is such a thing as liberal fascism. They think that fascism is always on the right, which is not necessarily true.
Which comes
true
back
at
to
all.
What you're saying, that people don't know history. Actually.
They don't. Honest to God, they do not know history. They do not read. No. They don't ask the question, you know, how do we get to where we are today? How do we get out of where we are today? Because when history does repeat itself, and unfortunately, history is known for that, to get out of a really bad place, you have to have a will. You have to make a conscious decision that you're going to get out of it. It's like a relationship. If you're in a bad relationship, you have to, you may not be at the point where you want to say, how did I get here? But you may be at the point where you say, I need to get out of here. And then you reflect about that later so you don't repeat it.
Or you have an external army that comes in across your borders and forces you.
Right.
So if you look at last time, on a large scale, that's what happened. But this time it's not going to, I think.
No, because I think there's too many people that are involved. I think there's a global club, for lack of a better word, where people have made a lot of money off of inflicting harm to other people in the last 4 years, and you have to be, I think, somewhat willing to be unconscious to go along with something like that. And I think that we have seen that. It's not just the people who are pulling the strings. It's also the people who have financially profited. And the spotlight isn't necessarily on them because they're just sitting back and they just have, you know, they have Pfizer in their financial portfolio. And that's, I mean, I think we're at a point in time where we have to ask a larger question here. What are we all doing? And how are we going to get out of this? Because I don't think that we're even close. I mean, I have to say, you know, and many people may be, you know, I don't know if they're watching who think that Kamala Harris, I'm embarrassed by Kamala Harris as a woman, okay? I think she's dumber than a rock. And I happen to know that when she was the DA, in San Francisco and the Attorney General of California, and she had the opportunity to prosecute the Catholic priest, she didn't do anything. So when she says that she's in favor of protecting kids, that's just, I mean, this is over 20 years ago. That's almost 20 years ago. That's a flat out lie. It's just, I mean, it's just, it's a lie. She didn't do anything. When she had Cardinal Lovato was overseeing the San Francisco diocese, and she didn't do anything. And that was a hot potato of a diocese in terms of perverts. And Los Gatos, California, just outside of San Francisco, was a hot potato in terms of the Jesuits. And when she was the AG in California, you know, between San Francisco, LA, Sacramento, she didn't do anything. So as a woman, when she's out there talking about as a prosecutor, and I sit there and I say to myself, is this the best woman that we can put forward?
Well,
I mean, she's going to get eaten alive by these pariahs on the global stage.
I think you can say that of all the candidates. Is this the best candidates mm-hmm. that are available? And it comes back to the leaders of Western countries at the moment. There's something else is going on. Yeah.
Right.
You don't get a 27, 28-year-old as Prime Minister of New Zealand who's got a Bachelor in Communications and no particular experience in anything except young global leader at the World Economic Forum. That person right. doesn't become Prime Minister of a country without a lot of support from right. someone who is very powerful and very rich. Same in Finland, same with, you know, Macron starts a party from nothing, mm-hmm. actually nothing, but has a history of working with the same people and suddenly is president. And, you know, Rishi Sunak, et cetera, now Starmer, who's, you know, a member of these, we know, openly a member of these groups, et cetera. So I think obviously these, you know, it's not like Genghis Khan, who was sort of the leader making the decisions. These, I think most, certainly vast majority of these people we're seeing in leadership positions are clearly being instructed, managed, whatever, put there by other people. It obviously, if you look at what they're saying, the way they reverse course, et cetera, they're not leading countries, they're following some sort of
they're puppets,
some sort of a movement or script.
Yeah, they're puppets.
Very much
so puppets. I mean,
it's hard not to see their actions as otherwise. I mean, Europe is a good example where Europe is committing economic suicide, industrial suicide. Mm-hmm. It's hard to make an argument that they are fighting for the people in their countries within their borders who elected them rather than some bigger project, which seems to involve people being impoverished for some other purpose.
Well, the thing is, when you take a step back and you say, why are these countries' leaders doing what they're doing? Because it's contributing to the self-destruction of the countries economically yes. and socially yeah. and morally I hate to use the word weird, okay, because now weird's becoming so infamous.
You're a journalist and you got instructions to use the word weird, obviously.
I know that's right and, you know, everybody tells me what to do, hardly,
yeah, but everything's weird at the moment.
But it really is. You know, it's one of those moments in time when you kind of say, what the hell? Why are people going along with this? And don't they see it? I mean, David, you and I have had this conversation. You know, it's hard for me to unsee what I see. It's hard for you to unsee what you see.
Yeah.
All right. And it's not just because of our experiences. It really is. You know, once your lights are on, there's no going back.
No, there isn't.
And how do we get people to that point? Because I think people need to, you know, I tell people all the time, and I say it and people get upset with me, but I tell people to get their heads out of cement and you know, get smarter, wish to be smarter, work to be smarter, read. You know, don't fall into this, you know, right, left political machine. Yeah. because right now, nobody's clean. Nobody's inspiring. It's a mess. I mean, we're in the gutter.
Don't fall into one, you know, group on, you know, gender dysphoria or whatever as well. I mean, mm-hmm. we are being told these insane things to divide us and confuse people. And
well,
bombarded with stupidity at the moment.
That's right.
You know, I sort of saw through, you know, COVID helped me a lot in understanding what is going on because it's my background. I've worked in epidemics, pandemics, infectious disease, public health. This comes along. I knew it was coming, something like it was coming along because I've worked with the people who, you know, were very interested in having this happen. And it happened, and it was very clear to me from the very beginning what was, you know, from a public health point of view, what was going on. And then I could look deeper and understand it better. And so then I've seen other things. But I know people who have none of that background who, you know, just working in the chemical industry here where I work or on farms, et cetera, who saw this long ago, and not because of that background. They just, you know, they're inquiring minds. They're aware of what's going on in the world. They don't have great tertiary training or whatever, but they just have inquiring minds. And so they figured it out. So, I don't know. But, you know, I know people like me who have all the education, etc., in public health and infectious disease to know that this, and the history of medicine, to know that this is ridiculous, who still buy it completely. And there are people who have none of that background who saw it straight away. So it's nothing to do it with educating people about well, it's nothing to do with whether you're tertiary trained or not or any of that. It's not formal education.
Okay,
it's a completely different form of education here that you need.
Well, all right, that's a given. Okay, I'll accept that. But if you never want to go through this again, people have to deal with reality. Because the level
absolutely.
Of deceit that has been thrust upon the human race is pretty amazing how many people bought into this. I don't like to get angry about it because anger doesn't take you anywhere. But I get disgusted when I think about how many people were so stupid and bought into this.
Oh, no, I agree. I mean, I'm not saying we don't have to tell the facts. We have to absolutely tell the facts all the time. We have to tell the truth all the time.
All right, so let's cut to the chase here. What is going on with this avian flu?
Yeah, the avian flu, that there's, we always get variants of flu. That's how flu works. There is always flu in birds. It goes through. There's been different versions of avian flu since we can detect these and distinguish these versions over the last 20, 30, 40 years. 100 years ago, we couldn't distinguish them because we didn't have the technology. Now we have all this technology. Now we're screening sewage for avian flu. We're screening milk for avian flu, et cetera. Because
why the hell do we do that? I mean,
because someone's being paid to do it. Okay. People who screen this are doing it because they are paid to do it. End of story.
Right,
yeah?
So they
work in a lab, they're paid to do this, there's a grant or there's a salary, so they'll do it because that's their job, like picking up garbage, cutting down trees.
Okay.
So they do it because they're paid to. Why are the people paying them to do this is a bigger question, because how is this shown to be a public health benefit versus investing in what's actually killing people? That's the question, yeah?
Okay.
So people, you know, by and large, people do what they're paid to do, but someone is paying them. And so you need to go a bit further back. And, you know, almost all medical, large clinical trials, et cetera, are run by pharmaceutical companies. There's a revolving door between FDA and pharma. We know all this, yeah? Mm-hmm. There are large investors who have very large investments in these pharmaceutical companies who would benefit massively from corralling people with mandates into getting vaccines. And they are also funding the research. They're funding the screening of sewage or whatever. So, you know, it's
so
not,
hedge,
you
so
don't have to look that far to
so,
see.
So are you suggesting that there's a hedge fund group out there that are saying, okay, we're going to pay somebody to go through the garbage of life to come up with something that we can all make money off of?
Well, I don't know if it's a hedge fund. I'm not a financial person, but I mean, this is the whole point really of the pandemic agenda that, you know, WHO is pushing with the pandemic agreement and so on. You increase surveillance massively. You find the variants that have always been there and will always be there. Mm-hmm. You declare them a threat. You lock down people. You have a 100-day vaccine, mRNA vaccine. This is the way they can get their freedom back. It's the way they can cross borders. Yeah, the EU is trialing their passport at the moment. Mm-hmm. It's the way that they can work. It's the way they can have an income. It's the way they're allowed to buy groceries and have a holiday.
So it's a Hunger Game. We're talking about a Hunger Game. This is what this has turned into. We're all a bunch of commodities. We've got the people on top that are making money off the fact that we're all stupid at the bottom.
Yeah. Which comes back to, you know, you were alluding to before, I think, with atheism. What is the value of a human being? Is a human being just a biological lump of stuff to make money out of? Or have they got some intrinsic value that makes it absolutely and intrinsically wrong to harm them, deliberately, unnecessarily, for your own benefit?
David, we're running out of time, and I could talk to you for hours because I find that where we are today is a pretty scary place, because I don't think that I think people are tired of where we're at, but they're not at the point where they want to take the steps that we never participate in something like we have in the last 4 years, unfortunately. I see this too often across the globe. It doesn't matter, you know, what somebody's culture or nationality or ethnicity is. I think I don't think we're at that point where I want to say it's a Lion King, you know, where you're really going to push back and you're really going to take control of it. I'm not seeing that. I foresee that we're in a bad space for a long time.
Oh, I think so. I think it's going to get worse. I think eventually it'll fail because it's all built on a pack of lies. And
absolutely. Absolutely.
You build a house on sand, it falls over eventually.
That's right.
But it's going to take a while. I think our job is to try to make it as less deep and as short as possible, but it's going to get much worse.
Obviously, I agree with you on that. We're still going to be here, you know, calling people out. I mean, I have no problem, you know, calling the likes of Bill Gates or Anthony Fauci or any of these people. And some people I went to Georgetown University with, Jack Leslie, who had the PR account for Moderna, Pfizer, and CDC at the same time. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that, you know, and the people, some of your colleagues that you know at WHO, it's, you know, we're in a weird position because it's not like we're on the outside. We're on the inside, and we know some of these people.
And it's hard to know often with these people whether they are taken in by it or whether mm-hmm. they are orchestrating it or whether there's a mixture. So, yeah, it's a movement. It's not people. To me, it's an international fascist movement, really, that we're facing.
I agree.
And that's what we've got to target primarily, is the movement and the way of thinking rather than the people.
Mm-hmm. But it's the people who have a face. And we have to remember that
we have to call them out.
We have to call them out and have to hold them responsible. David, it's always good to see you. I'm sorry it's been so long, but we're going to have you back again soon.
Thanks, Christy.